ஓம் முகம் கருதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்காய தீகிரிம் யத்கிருபா தமாம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். ஐ சல்யூட் கிருஷ்ணா, தி எம்பாடிமெண்ட் ஆஃப் சுப்ரீம் பிளெஸ், பை ஹூஸ் கிரேஸ் த லேம் ஸ்கேல் மவுண்டன் and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter. The name of the chapter is Chapter of Non-Attachment or Renunciation. The goal of religion is to make people happy. That is the only goal of religion. Arjuna was miserable, as we find in the first chapter. He was submerged in grief. He was confused and deluded. So he sought help from Krishna. Two things confused Arjuna. First, fear. Second, delusion, attachment for his own people. Fear came in his mind because he was not sure whether he would win in that war or not. Second, he saw his cousins, he saw his grandsire, his guru, his relatives who came to fight against him. So he was thinking, what shall I do with wealth, money, property, home, land? By killing my own people, how shall I live in this world? So this delusion came to his mind. Krishna removed these two things, grief and delusion, fear. In the first chapter, Arjuna told all of his problems to Krishna. Krishna talked about the reality. He jumped from the lower state to the higher state. That is called Shankha Yoga. He said, Arjuna, if you really want peace and joy in this life, practice yoga. Unite yourself with God. Elevate your jiva nature, that I am a man, I am a limited being, I am a woman. Forget all those things. Forget the body idea. Elevate yourself to a higher realm, where the Paramatma and the Jivatma, the cosmic soul and the individual soul get identified. Try to elevate to your level. You will get peace. You will get joy. You have gone too down. You have gone down in the lower level. So you are in trouble. It is true. When mind goes below heart plane, friction begins. That is the realm of selfishness. The moment mind goes above heart plane, you will find very little friction, because that is the realm of unselfishness. Below heart, selfishness. Above heart, unselfishness. It is the play of the gunas. When your mind is full of shatta guna, always remember, your mind is above heart plane. And you are unselfish. At that time, no friction. The mind goes below heart plane, friction begins. So Krishna taught Arjuna about the Atman, which is beyond selfishness and unselfishness. And he told him, these are the signs of a steady intellect. Be steady, be firm, be strong. Then in the third chapter, Krishna talked about Karma Yoga. You are in this world, you will have to work. Earn thy bread by the sweat of your brow, which is very true. You are in the world, you will have to work hard for your livelihood, for your bread. That Krishna taught in the third chapter, how to practice karma, how to work in this world. In the fourth chapter, Krishna talked about jnana, knowledge. This path of knowledge is the greatest path, straight way to reach God. Then Krishna talked about sannyasa yoga, talked about renunciation. Now, before I begin the text, I shall give you a little introduction. Your destination is High Point near Clayton Road. You have started your journey from the parkway, which has gone toward the downtown. Another has gone to this west side highway. Both are on the bicycles. One is on the right sidewalk, another is on the left sidewalk. So these two persons are moving toward the High Point. The first man has only one stoplight. The man who is bicycling at the left sidewalk, he has only one stoplight, that is on far side. The other one has many side lights, many bifurcations. So these two persons are moving toward the south, High Point. Now Krishna says, Arjuna, don't confuse. As I told you, in the last part of the fourth chapter of the Gita, Arjuna was confused. Because Krishna eulogized the path of knowledge so much that the path of action was secondary, was not stressed at all. So he was confused. He said, well, which one is better? So Krishna said, both are going to the same direction, and the goal of both paths are the same. You see, path of action and path of meditation. Path of knowledge and path of action. Meditation, contemplation, perhaps those are not the right words. Jnana yoga and karma yoga. Path of knowledge and path of action. Both are going to the same direction. Path of action is right sidewalk, has many stops and many bifurcations, slow process. And path of knowledge, if you can go on the near the forest park, it will go straight to the High Point. There is no stop, like freeway. So this path is faster, but the destination is the same. Some people can run non-stop. Some people, time to time, stop and breathe. Again they run, again they stop, take rest, again they run. So both are going to the same direction. Why are you asking such question, which one is better than this and that? But please remember, don't go away from the skinker, because that is the royal path. That path is the path of God. It will take you to the destination. But if out of fun, if you go this way and that way, you will have to go in a very roundabout way. For example, if the man who took the path of knowledge, all of a sudden out of curiosity, if he turns, seeing the red light, if he turns back and goes to the downtown area, then, you know, through Lingdale, then he'll have to come to the High Point by asking people through the highway, which is a roundabout process. Same thing, the man who is walking to the right side, if he leaves the skinker, he may go to the big bend, and then in a zigzag roundabout way, he will have to come to the High Point. High Point is the destination. So Krishna says, don't leave this skinker. This is the right path. Do you know what is that? Path of Dharma. All these paths are established on that right track. So please follow this royal path. It will lead you to the same place. Krishna wants Arjuna to follow his own path. Krishna knows better than anyone else what was Arjuna's path? Path of action. That is his natural path. He wanted to be a sannyasi, he wanted to be a mendicant. Arjuna yugacham sannyasam karmanam krishna punarjogam shashamsati jasreyaye toerekam tanme bruhi sunishitam. The first verse of the fifth chapter of the Gita. Arjuna said, "You praise, O Krishna, the renunciation of works and also yoga. Tell me for certain, which of these two is the better?" In the third and fourth chapter, Krishna talked about action and knowledge. In the fifth and sixth chapter, he will talk about how to renounce action and how to practice meditation. To an ordinary people, path of action is essential. As I told you many times, this path of action, unselfish action, will purify your mind. And a pure mind will understand Brahman. Aham shochami, I am submerged in grief. Why? Because I do not know about myself. I have read the four Vedas, I have read all the scriptures, but I do not know myself, so I am submerged in grief. Save me. Narada said this to Sanat Kumara. You see, if you do not know yourself, that is the cause of our misery. We know many things, but we do not know ourselves. Some people underestimate themselves, some people overestimate themselves, and some people do not know how to estimate. Only a man of knowledge knows himself. Only a man of knowledge knows, I am that I am. People do not know themselves, so they suffer. You may be the Miss Universe, you may be Miss Universe, you may be Mr. Universe, but if there is no mirror, you cannot see, you cannot enjoy your beauty. A mirror is necessary, a medium is necessary to know oneself, and that mirror is the pure mind. So the purpose of our spiritual disciplines is to clean the mind. Krishna was trying to clean the mind of Arjuna so that he can see himself. Path of action and path of knowledge. The Mimamsakas follow the path of action. The Vedantins follow the path of knowledge. Those who have desire for this world, they follow this path of action. And those who do not want this world or worldly things, they take the path of knowledge. Now, you may say, Swami, why do they divide? Because the temperaments of the people in this universe are many. You cannot put all people in the same category. That is the beauty of Vedanta. As I told you, Vedanta, there is no straight jacket in Vedanta. There is no set of prayer, no particular meditation, nothing in Vedanta. Each individual is different. Vedanta teaches individually. Pravritti Marga and Nivritti Marga. The path of righteousness, path of the world, and path of God. These are the two paths. But you see, the goal of these two paths are the same. All people cannot renounce, and all people cannot stay in this world too. I sometimes say, who create monks and nuns? The householders. Monk does not create monk. Nun does not create nun. Monks and nuns are produced by the householders. Who take care of them? The householders take care of them. Just see. But at the same time, we find in the society, these two lines are continuously flowing. The path of renunciation and the path of action. Some are going through the world, some are going through the path of knowledge. Not, you see, they live in the world, but they are not of the world. There should be variety in this society. So, in according to Vedantic tradition, the path of the householder is very important. Householder's life is very vital because the whole society depends upon them. If that family life is shaky, this whole society is shaky. They say, they're just saying monks are all parasites, you see. They are dependent on the householders about their food, about their clothing. But at the same time, they preserve the spiritual culture of the society. So they help each other. When they are exhausted, tired, bored in this world, these people present them the highest ideal so that they can get strength of the spirit. So see, both are helping each other. It is a journey. All these are all pilgrims are going toward that high point. Virtues are not our goal. Some people think, if I be moral and ethical, that is quite sufficient. That is not sufficient. You see, morality, ethics are very good. They are all preliminary disciplines. They will help you to form your character. But that is not your goal. Your goal is God, realization of the Spirit. If religion is within the domain of morality and ethics, as we find in the religion of Confucius, then it cannot grow. It is in the domain of Maya. If the ethics and morality shake, the whole religious structure will be shaken. Christian ethics, Christian morality, 30, 40 years ago, it was very strong in the society. But now look, people do not mind if people live together, this and that. The social structure has changed quite a bit. Those who are old-time people, it bothers them. I read in the paper, it bothers them. They cannot absorb this type of change in the society. They cannot understand how is it possible. So if religion is based on morality and ethics, it shakes. But eternal religion is unshaken. Virtues are not our goal. Once a devotee asked, if God appears before you, what will you ask? God, O Lord, give me devotion, give me renunciation, give me knowledge, give me non-attachment. Will you ask all these things? Or what will you ask? Yes, I shall ask all those things. Oh no, don't ask, Lord, give me renunciation, give me knowledge, give me devotion, give me purity. Don't ask all those things. They are not necessary. What do you mean? You tell God, I want you. That's it. Then all those virtues will come to you automatically. You will not have to ask them separately. If your goal is God, then all these virtues will come to you. Seek the kingdom of heaven, everything shall be added unto you. Christ said the same thing. Ask the highest, seek the highest, and you will reach the highest. That Krishna will tell us in this chapter of the Gita. Seek the highest, Arjuna, seek the highest. Knowledge, burns all desires, all actions. Itameva prabrajino lokamichanta prabrajanti shanta danta brata titikshu samaita bhutta atmani atmanam pashyati. With a view to attaining this Atman, the Self, people renounce the world. They practice self-control. They withdraw their mind from this world. They practice forbearance, Shraddha. This is the way a spiritual aspirant moves towards the Self. As I told you, the cause of your grief, pain, suffering, misery is you do not know yourself. So self-knowledge is the goal. And if you want to have this self-knowledge, you will have to practice non-attachment. Brahmacharyam parishamaitpo grihi bhavet. Javala Upanishad says, you practice your student's life, then you enter householder's life. After finishing householder's life, enter the life of the recluse. After finishing the life of the recluse, enter the life of renunciation. But if you have burning desire for God's realization, then you can jump from one state to the other. You will not have to follow this chronology, says the Javala Upanishad. So in the first verse, Krishna, Arjuna asked this question. Whether this question is pertinent or not, Shankara discussed it elaborately. Shankara said, Krishna eulogized the path of knowledge, and at the end of the fourth chapter, Krishna said, Arjuna, I told you everything. Now, get involved in the path of action. Arjuna said, oh my goodness, all through you are talking, now you are eulogizing the path of knowledge, now you are forcing me again to the path of action. Why? Which one is good for me? Please tell me. I am confused again. Those who are not capable of renunciation, if they forcefully take the path of renunciation, will be miserable. You have secret desire for enjoyment, but you are living in the monastery. Your life will be miserable. Krishna said that in the third chapter. Mithya charo sa uchyate. He is a hypocrite. Living a monastic life and secretly through the mind, trying to enjoy the world. He is a hypocrite, Arjuna. There is a song in Baul song. Oh, yogi, you made a great mistake in your life by coloring your cloth into a ochre, coloring the cloth in ochre without first coloring your own mind. Your mind is not colored with non-attachment, but you took the color of renunciation. It will not work. You made a great mistake. So, Krishna asked Arjuna to follow his own path, his natural path, that is the path of karma. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sannasa Karma Yogasya Nisreyusho Karabhubhav Tayostu Karma Sannasat Karma Yoga Vishishati. The Lord said, both renunciation and yoga lead to the highest good, but of the two, performance of action is superior to renunciation of action. For whom? For Arjuna. For Arjuna, that path is his natural path. He is a Kshatriya, he is a king, he belongs to the kingly royal caste, and he came to fight for his own legitimate their legitimate demand, but it did not work out, so he wanted to get it back through righteous way. Both are good. Both will lead you to liberation. Forcefully, you cannot make a person holy. At the same time, forcefully, you cannot put a person in the world. I remember the girl in California wanted to be a nun, but her parents forced her to get married, either she married or not. Her parents were very much, you know, against her monastic life. She got married. She was so miserable. She at last divorced her husband and came and joined the monastery, joined the convent. You see, that person, you cannot force a person. She did not want to get married. But by the pressure of the parents, she had to. Later, she changed her life and came and joined the convent. Same thing, you cannot force a person to become a nun or a monk. Another person also I knew, she could not adjust, she left the convent. Just see. By force, it cannot work. It does not work. That Krishna said, Arjuna, for you, a karma yoga is the right path. Don't take the path of renunciation. That is not your path. In this respect, Vedanta is very good. No force. You take according to your own choice. Giva sa nitya sinnasi yuna dvesti na kangshati nirdando hi mahabaho sukham bandhat pramuchati. He who has neither hates nor desires may be known as constantly practicing renunciation. For free from the pairs of opposites, O mighty Arjuna, he is easily freed from bondage. Gya, no, sa, him, nitya sannyasi, a man of renunciation, who, yuna deshti, he who does not hate anybody, he who does not aspire, desire for anything in this world, nirdando, who is beyond the pairs of opposites. O great warrior Arjuna, he sukham bandhat pramuchyate, he liberates himself smoothly without effort. I shall read some comments on this verse by Sri Ramakrishna. Mone tagi tag. One should learn how to renounce mentally. Have everything. But renounce mentally. Bishay rupor, kamini kanchan rupor bhalobasha thakle hoy na. Sonnash korleo hoy na jodi bishay shokti thake. A person may be attached to the worldly objects, but if he worldly objects kamini kanchan bishay rupor kamini kanchan rupor bhalobasha thakle hoy na. One cannot attain God if one's mind is attached to the world. If a person takes the vows of renunciation in spite of his hidden desire for the world, he cannot reach the destination. Do you know what type of person he is? His speaking outside, he is taking that same thing again. Transcend both good and bad. Don't you know? In the Gita, Krishna taught, practice anatta, non-attachment. Then you will be able to transcend this world. You will realize God. There are some people leave home, family, out of pain, out of suffering. There are some people, I read a book, 28 years after I leap over the wall. 28 years, after 28 years, I leap over the wall. Life of a nun. She mentioned that how that people come to the convent out of frustration, out of pain, out of suffering, out of misery. She gave a statistics that who come to the convent, who come to the monastic life. So Sri Ramakrishna says there are heen thake lok. Out of pain they left home. They did not leave home out of joy. Then he mentioned, there are some people in this world, they have no love for God, always involved with worldly things. They live in a mud, in a hole, in a room whose four walls are made of mud. He cannot see anything outside. But a jnani, devotee, lives in a glass room. He sees inside, he sees outside. His mind is just like a blazing sun, which helps him to see everything, even in the room. Sri Ramakrishna compared these two types of persons in the world. Jnani, Ajnani. Ajnani lives in a mud wall, all around, darkness. Inside is darkness. Though he has an oil lamp inside, with that oil lamp he sees only around the four walls, nothing else. But if a devotee lives with God, his mind, he lives in a glass room. Shangshare gyan karu karu hai. There are some people who live in this world, but they have knowledge of God. They are hidden yogis. Then he mentioned, those who come here, they are not ordinary people. They are not householders. They have love for God. Tumra shangshari, tumra yau rakho, ou rakho. You are householders. You stay in the world and at the same time come here. Live in God too. Practice both. You will not have to renounce everything. You renounce mentally. This world is a mixture of real and unreal. Just like sugar and sand. Take the sugar particle like ants. Milk and water are mixed together. Take the milk portion like a swan. In this way, Sri Ramakrishna tried to indicate the Supreme Reality. Sri Krishna, so loving, so patient, begins from Arjuna's point of view. He says, it is true, I have placed renunciation of action before you as a great ideal. And I have also placed intense selfless action before you as a great ideal. But since you have an intellectual need for comparison and an inescapable tendency to weigh one thing against the other, I am prepared to concede that selfless action is better for you than renunciation of action. At present, we are not ready to renounce action. Even if we try not to act, even if we take a vow not to act, we will be forced into action. If there is no action physically, action still continues to go on all the time in the mind. The choice, therefore, for you and me is, shall we act selflessly for the benefit of all, or shall we act selfishly for our own personal aggrandizement? Master Eckhart advises us in glorious words. To be right, a person must do one of two things. Either he must learn to have God in his work and hold fast to him there, or he must give up his work altogether. Since, however, man cannot live without activities that are both human and various, we must learn to keep God in everything we do, and whatever the job or place, keep on with him, letting nothing stand in our way. In the practice of meditation, particularly as concentration increases, you should see to it that you engage yourself in intense, selfless action during the day. You should ask yourself, if we have plenty of opportunity to be with other people. Suppose you have been meditating for a number of years alone in the forest, away from the hurly-burly of life. When you come back to the city and somebody pushes you aside on the sidewalk, not all your meditation in the forest is going to make you smile sweetly and say, "Forgive me for having been in your way." This capacity comes through regular meditation and by walking on sidewalks where people push and are pushed about. Then you learn that if somebody pushes you, he may be just looking in the shop window and not seeing you. It is only by being with people who are irascible, sometimes because of you, that the angles and corners of your personality are slowly smoothed out. You, of course, are never short-tempered, but you sometimes run into people who are short-tempered, who do not easily understand your point of view. The answer here is to repeat the mantra, become patient, listen respectfully to the other's point of view, and be even more persuasive in presenting your position. The world has become so difficult, so violent, that no one today can afford to keep quiet. No one can afford to drop out of society or fail to make a contribution. Each one of us can change the whole world by changing himself a little. When instead of reacting violently, I renounce all violence in action, in word, in thought, and in my relationships with everybody else, I have actually changed my environment. When I can show others love instead of hatred, good will instead of ill will, respect instead of criticism, I not only change myself, but also those who come in contact with me. In everything I do, every day, I am affecting my environment, either favorably or unfavorably. To make this influence completely beneficial and to enable it to reach as many people as possible, hard, intense, selfless action is a necessity. He made a very nice comment about Karma Yoga. So long as we are in this world, we'll have to work. There is no other way. We'll have to practice karma yoga, not karma bhoga. Karma bhoga means suffering from karma. The suffering from karma comes from ego, from attachment, lack of understanding, lack of patience, lack of love. People sometimes are so sensitive. Once a big executive of a company, he was a very nice man. There was a board meeting and one vice president was yelling to the other person for a different, you know, they had a different opinion. Then this man, who was one of the top executives, said to that vice president, "I think you did not hear his question properly, his statement properly. You reacted very fast. First, listen. Let him finish. Then you react. Then you say whatever you want to say." His mind was, he was a very calm, quiet, respectable person. That person brought harmony in that meeting, created a wonderful atmosphere. The man who yelled, at last he later on apologized, "I made a mistake. Sorry, please excuse me." The whole situation became calm and favorable. The person who are very sensitive always remember that person's ego is very big. When ego becomes big, that is like a very big balloon. He gets punched from all directions because Lord will not allow that big ego. He will burst it one day. So the more the ego balloon inflated inside, the more he gets pushed from all directions. In the work, in the bus, in the market, everywhere he gets pushed. And he becomes furious. He gets irritation all the time. That means he has a deep problem. He did not know how to be humble. The nature will force him to be humble. There is no other way. And blessed is the soul who learns, I should be humble. That is one of the greatest teachings of Chaitanya. Trinadopi sunichena tarurupi soishnuna homanina manadeina kirtaniya sadavari. Be humbler than a blade of grass. Be patient and forbearing like the tree. Take no honor to thyself. Give honor to all. Chant all the time the name of God. Which is one of the greatest teachings of Chaitanya. Not only in the monastic life, those who come in spiritual life, they must practice these greatest disciplines. How to practice humility. How to love people. How to forget oneself. This man, in many places, I think most of the commentaries you will find, put others first. That is one of his slogans in this book. Put everybody first and you last. That is the basic principle of ethics and morality. You are last, everyone first. People will remember you. With that man, I was listening to the radio, the man who saved 4 or 5 lives in that plane accident in Washington. He's a hero. That one person was interviewed who said, if they in that situation, what would you do? I cannot tell you that what I could do. That the man, the pilot of the helicopter, the pilot of the helicopter, he said that if I be a person like him, perhaps I would save my own life. I would hold that ring immediately. But here is a person saved others' lives at the cost of his own. This scripture will be meaningful to us if we apply it in our life. Otherwise, it has no use. Giyo sa nitya sannyasi. That person is a real monk. Yo na deshti na kankshati. He who does not hate anybody and he who does not desire for anything in this world, he is a real monk, that Krishna said. You check yourself, Arjuna, do you have any desire? Do you hate anybody? Nirdvandho, who forbears happiness and misery. I met a person, a monk, even in the greatest, I saw him carrying terrible pain, suffering. But I used to watch him. His mind was always in tranquil state. He could face the greatest problems of human life. Steady intellect. Man of steady intellect. You see, if somebody says something, immediately we flare up. That means our nerves are very weak. Very weak nerves. That Krishna said, Nirdvandho hi Mahabaho. Hey Arjuna, Mahabaho. Mahabaho means, oh, greatest of all men. Nirdvandho bhava. Transcend this pair of opposites. If somebody praises, somebody blames, somebody praise you, somebody blames, somebody blame you, don't pay any attention. You go, do your duty, work. Another monk told me that if you do anything great in this world, have 2 large pockets. When criticism comes, put in one pocket. When praise comes, put it in another pocket and then go ahead. Don't look at them. Otherwise, if you pay attention to the, criticism and praise, then you will not be able to move forward. Giyosa that man Shukam Bandhat Pramuchyati, easily he cuts the cord, the bondage of this world, and gets liberation. Desire. Arjuna, do you have any desire? Check. Adhishti na kangshati, na shochati na kangshati. He does not grieve. He does not grieve. He does not hanker for anything in this world. I want God and God alone, nothing else. He is a real sannyasin. All right, you can ask me questions. There are some people, you see, they come to the monastic life, come to monastic life out of frustration, out of pain at home. Oh, in the home, it is too much suffering. It is better to go to the monastery. You see, always remember, question, this inquiry about God comes to four types of people. Krishna mentioned in the Gita. First, Artho, this great sufferer, who is in pain, in disease, in family, you know, disturbance, always in pain. He becomes disgusted with the world and renounces. Then, Artharthi, Artho, then Jiggashu. Jiggashu means inquirer. Some people come out of curiosity. He wants to know what is going on. Some people come Artharthi, but I can, if I go to spiritual life, but I can get some supernatural powers. Artharthi, or wealth. And Jnani. Jnani is ekobhakti visishvati. His love only for God. Just like moth's attraction for the fire, for the light. Moth always goes toward the light. So Jnani is just like a moth. He cannot stop himself. His mind always goes toward God. So Sri Ramakrishna said that one day a man quarreled with his wife and left home and went to Banaras and wrote a letter to his wife, "Don't worry about me, I got a job here." Means temporarily his renunciation is not genuine. Temporarily he left home, but he got a job. You see, some people have natural renunciation. And they leave home happily, joyfully. But there are some people, you know, they leave home, but still a little desire for the world is there. Krishna mentioned in the third chapter of the Gita, that type of renunciation does not last long. Arjuna had wanted that type of, it came to Arjuna's mind that, let me renounce. What is this? There is so much problem, killing, massacring, war. So many problems, it is better to be a mendicant. Shreyo bhaktum bhikshama piyo loke. It is better to lead the life of a mendicant in this world than to lead this miserable life. Arjuna was forcefully trying himself to lead, to renounce. Krishna stopped him. That Krishna said. Sri Ramakrishna's example is so beautiful. If you have a wound here and the wound is healing day by day, and there is a scab. If you forcefully remove that scab, it will bleed. The wound would be raw again. But if you do not touch it, slowly, slowly it will be healed inside. And one day, the scab will fall from your wound automatically. That is called natural renunciation. Don't do it forcefully, that Sri Ramakrishna said. But at the same time, he said, have both. Don't take one only. There are ignorant people in this world. They only know world and nothing else. Their love only is for the world. They live like a mud wall, inside the mud wall, in darkness. They have a lamp, no doubt. With that lamp, he sees only little space, which is around the mud wall. He's all pots and pans and all this petty, you know, trifling things he sees inside his cell. But devotee who lives both in God as well as in the world, his room is a glass room. He not only sees inside, he sees outside also. His mind is vast. His mind is just like a sunlight. He, with that sunlight, penetrates through, you know, his mind is just like a searchlight. He sees everything in his room. He knows what is real, what is unreal. He sees the vast universe also. That, what does it mean, do you know? Not only he is inside the room, no doubt, in that glass room, but he gets the glimpse of the infinite, that Sri Ramakrishna said. Have both, stay in the world as well as hold God also. Take God in your house also. Make a shrine, make of Lord in your home. It is Lord's so not mine. Give the ownership to Him. If you do that, then Shukam Bandhat Pramuchyate, Maya will not be able to bind you. Because why I and mine are cut by you, by the sword of knowledge, by the sword of discrimination that Sri Ramakrishna taught his household devotees. Not that everybody will have to, Narendra, Vivekananda and Brahmananda. That is fine, there is a separate class. You people follow this method that he taught to Nag Mahashaya, him and other household disciples, how to live in this world. Stay in the classroom. You will get plenty of light. You will get the glimpse of the infinite also. But take Lord with you. Because the moment you put the Lord in your room, that room immediately will be a classroom. Do you know what does it mean, classroom and Madhwal? Madhwal is thick Thomas. And glass wall is shot to quality. A barrier is there. You cannot get out. But you can break it at any time and come out. You can give a kick, then immediately the glass door will be broken into pieces and you can come out at any time. It is under your beck and call, that Sri Ramakrishna said. But Madhwal, through kicking, you cannot break it. It is very thick, dark inside. You have no idea of the infinite because you are selfish. You see, if you take a word or sentence of Sri Ramakrishna and meditate in this way, so many ideas will come to you. What you meant? Leave taking God with you. You will get some kind of joy, bliss. Om Asato Ma Satkamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirkamaya Mrittormaya Amritam Gamaya Avirabhinma Yedhi Rudrayate Dakshinamukam Dinamam Pahi Nityam Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through. And guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace be unto all.